You know what a cotter pin is? I've written on the board the necessity of cotter pins.
Yes.
Well, I have one. And I'll put it back on Brother Daryl's truck later. You probably didn't realize it was missing.
No, I
didn't. But this is a trailer hitch. And to hook the trailer hitch to my vehicle, we use this, which is a hitch pin. And then there's one more little pin. This is a cotter pin. And I'll let you look at those and figure out what I'm going to preach about. But I'd like to start in John the 10th chapter. We're going to lay a little bit of a foundation before we even get to talking about cotter pins. Now please pray for us here this morning. John 10 and 27, Jesus was talking here and he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And so I thank the Lord for these scriptures, because these are very powerful promises to you and to me. There's no offense great enough. There's no temptation strong enough. There's no sorrow heavy enough, or anything that can be brought against us. Remember the song that we sang this morning? They cannot bring again the sins the blood has washed away. They can't take anything from me without me relinquishing it, right? And so there is no force. The devil and all of his minions, you, whoever you are not strong enough to come against me and take away my salvation.
That's right.
The Lord gave that to us, and so it's something that we can have. David, I think it was David that said, "My soul is continually in my hand." It's something that the Lord gave to me.
Yeah.
When His blood washed me away, He took away my sins, and it's something that nobody, no power is able to rend, to separate me from the love of God.
Yeah.
All right?
Amen.
So now let's go to James, the first chapter.
Amen.
James, the first chapter and the 13th verse says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when it is finished, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." And so this is drawing a parallel to a set of parents having a child. I've looked up the original Greek on this, and when it said, "when lust hath conceived," it means exactly what it says. So we have ingredients. It's going to take me a little bit to get where I'm going now, all right? So we have some ingredients here.
Yes.
We have what every man and every woman is born with, and that is your own human desires.
Yes.
The desire to be happy and I get hungry. Those are things that we all have, and even Jesus was not exempt from it, because the devil tempted him with things that really mattered to him.
Yes.
It was really important to him. It said that after he fasted, he was afterward hungered. And in that state, you try resisting the temptation that the devil gave Jesus after you haven't eaten anything for 40 days and 40 nights. And so we have it says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So the things, when the word lust here is not necessarily a bad word in this context, but what it means is the desires that you and I have. And some of those desires can be fulfilled in a right way. I'm going to be hungry after a while. Well, I'm going to go do something about it. It doesn't matter. We're not too holy to eat on the Lord's day. We might get together and play some games and do some banter back and forth, and we have fulfilling relationships with each other, and all that is good. But there are also things that tempt us, and they're natural desires that we know that if we fulfill those, we're going to transgress something that God said not to do. And so that is sin. So it says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Why does it use that word there? What? Because there's two parents to sin. One is the natural, the things that are in us, but there's something else that has to be involved for there to be a child called sin. And that's our will. Yeah. All right?
True.
So the opposite, there's a verse that's the opposite of this verse, and I'll read that to you real quick. It says, Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So what these verses are saying is that sin is the product of your will plus the lust of your flesh. All right? But if you unite your will with the influences of the Spirit of God, it produces fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. That's the children of yielding your members to righteousness. All right? So we can infer a lot of things from these verses. One is that temptation in itself is not sin. Okay? You can go, you can be tempted, and something can come to you very strong. And there have been times, am I the only one in here that the devil has tempted me and then jumped on me after it was all said and done with, and I didn't yield, but then he jumped on me for being tempted?
Yeah.
He said, "You've sinned." No, I didn't sin because I never gave into it. Doesn't matter how strong it really was, even if I got close to it.
Yes.
And then backed up and said, "No, I don't want to do that."
Right.
Maybe the next time we shouldn't get close to it. But there's a difference between temptation and sin.
Yes, right.
All right.
Amen.
Now, and then I'd like to pass by the scripture again that I read. It said, "Nevertheless, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." So the things that the devil brings, they're all enticements. They're things. They're temptations. They are influences to do things that are part of our own natural makeup, things that appeal to us, but yet transgress the will of God. So the influences of the Spirit of God are influences to do the things that are right, that are noble, that are just and holy. It's those things. And those influences come in many different ways. And the Lord sometimes he sends chastisement. So that's what this is talking about. He sends chastisement and things that are supposed to yield a bountiful fruit for the Lord. That's the child it's supposed to produce. Do you understand where I'm going with this? Okay. But then it says, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Again, this is not just an automatic. Just because you're tempted doesn't mean that you've sinned. But conversely, on the opposite side of it, just because you've had the Lord bring things, chastisement, things like that, it doesn't mean there's an automatic yield of righteousness. So it says, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto what? Under them that are exercised by thereby. Or in other words, here's another version that it says, to those who have been trained by it. There's a reason why James said, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so the Lord brings chastisement and other things into our life. And so as we, in the same way that we do not yield our will to the temptations and keep from producing sin, in the very same way, we have to yield our members to the influences of the Spirit of God so that the peaceable fruit of righteousness will be produced. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. So now, I'd like to read a scripture in 1 John 2 and 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. What things? In the first chapter, you read that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Then it says if we say we are in fellowship with God, but we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And so if you tie this in with James, James explains what sin is.
Yeah.
Sin is when you transgress the will of God. And then what is the fruit of sin? The fruit of temptation plus your will is sin, but what is the fruit of sin?
Death.
It says sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. So then he follows that up with a verse that says, do not err. Why? Because sin's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yes, amen.
It's a big deal. What does it do? It separates us from God.
Right.
And so he said, don't do that. And so John, he said, basically, in other words, I told you in the first chapter that if you walk in darkness, you're really not in fellowship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so in the second chapter, he said, these things, I write these things to you that you sin not. I think that we tend sometimes to focus on the second part of that verse where it says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But we forget about the first part that he said, you know what? I don't want you. You shouldn't sin because it separates us from God.
That's right. Yes, it does.
If you do sin, you're not cast off forever.
Yes.
Because there's a way back.
Yes.
And you can come, you can say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't want to do that. Please forgive me. Wash me. I want to be your child.
Yes.
Don't cast me off forever. But so there we have the advocate with the Father, but this verse is not a license to just go whatever we feel like doing. This verse is just demonstrating the great mercy of God.
Yes.
That He's a God of second and third and fourth chances.
Yes.
But He said, these things write I unto you that you sin not. Don't sin because God is light.
Yes.
And in Him is no darkness at all. And if we're going to walk in the light, then we need to abstain from living a life of sin.
That's
pretty clear, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. So... So back to the first verse that we read, it said, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. There's, to reiterate what I said, there's no temptation strong enough, no offense great enough, but you know what? We can pluck ourselves out of the Father's hand. All right?
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we don't do that. Now, what does that have to do with cotter pins? We'll get to that in just a minute. So, just in passing, we won't turn to it, but Paul was talking about a couple guys that he said, this charge, this is 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience.
Yes.
All right? Those are the things we're supposed to maintain. Those things, you know, it's the Lord's job to preserve our soul.
Yeah.
It's our job to hold a good conscience.
Yeah, that's
right. All right? Holding faith and a good conscience. Well, how do you hold a good conscience? By saying, well, the Lord covered my sins back on Calvary. And so even though I'm a sinful person, He's holy. Do you know that is the teaching in many churches today?
True.
All right? But having a good conscience, you know, if we really believed that, you could have a good conscience no matter what you did.
That's true.
Because everything's covered under the blood. But the Lord, while the Lord covers us with His blood, He expects us to live a life because He provided for us the power to do it. That's why Paul said, then those times of ignorance God winked at. Because they didn't have the light, the understanding, or the power that Jesus Christ came to bring.
That's right.
All right. So he said, holding faith and a good conscience. Then he said, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Now I'd like to turn to Hebrews 12. We've already read one scripture from the 12th chapter of Hebrews, but we're going to read several more. And I wish I could just read the whole chapter, but we'll read some verses from it and then we'll read the first verse later. But there's a lot of good things in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, the word holiness here means a purification. It's actually something that we do. It's a consecration, a setting apart, a sanctification. All right? It's the action that we take. I'm not trying to tell you that we can, by our own good works, purify ourselves and get up to heaven and say, Lord, you've got to let me in. I have been so good. No, we can't do that. But the Lord washed us, cleaned us, and gave us the power of the Holy Spirit. And then every day we have to make the choice of what fruit we're going to yield, whether the peaceable fruit of righteousness or sin. And so the Lord said, I want you to follow, or the Hebrews 12 and 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. So I would say it's a pretty big deal to follow holiness, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
All right. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Yes.
And then he names Esau. Not somebody, he didn't name somebody that went and killed 50 people or stole from the Lord's temple or did something like that. He said, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who from one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And that gives me a lot of pause when I think about how I let the things inside come up, attitudes and the things that, you know, they hurt me, and I'm gonna hold that because it feels good. Those kind of things. The kind of things that nobody can see, we think. A lot of times they kind of come out anyway. But I think that many times we can keep those things inside. Some bitterness, some envy, some pride, and all those things that we, and you know what? There's a lot of things that the Lord's revealed to me about myself since I've been saved. It's a growing process. Yes. There's things that I can't do now that I could do 10 years ago.
Amen.
Or even 2 years ago. So I'm not trying to tell you that it's a utopia or a plateau that when you get saved, all of a sudden the light comes on and scatters all your giants and everything. No, it's a growing process.
Right.
But what sin is anything that I know is wrong. All right.
Yes.
Anything that I know is wrong. So there will be things that the Lord will show you that you can't do that anymore. And it's just because the Lord wasn't ready to show you before that. You hadn't got to that place.
Yes.
So it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright.
Yes.
So I'd like to talk for just a moment about being lights in the world. And that's what we're all called to do, right?
That's right?
You don't have to be a pulpit minister. You don't have to be a missionary overseas. You don't have to. There's a lot of things you don't have to do. But every one of us is called to be a light to the world. Well, that kind of sometimes becomes a generic term. Well, I want to be a light to the world. No. Let's examine it a little more closely. Remember the guy in the Old Testament that ran and he didn't have a message?
Yeah.
He ran and he got up to the king. He wanted to run. You know, we all want to be lights to the world, but how are we going to do it? What are we taking to the world? What's the witness that we're giving the world? And we tell him, oh, I want come and worship my Jesus.
Yeah.
And then we go and we live this way and that way. I want to tell you that this is not talking about sin and everything. This is not sometimes a real popular thing to really get down and examine. But if we're going to be an effective witness and a light to the world, we've got to live clean and clear lives.
That's right.
Before the Lord.
That's right.
All right. And so many places, I'll just say this, in religion, many places, houses of worship, religious belief systems teach that sin is not a big deal.
Right.
All right? They do.
They do.
They teach that it's not a big deal. All right. Now let's talk about this little setup here. So this goes on my trailer. I mean on my vehicle. Mm-hmm. And you can pull all kinds of things with this. You can pull a boat trailer or a little trash trailer. A while back, I was hauling a big skid steer. And if it comes loose, I'll just compare. This is not a perfect comparison. But if you lose this, it's kind of game over.
Yes.
You don't know what's going to happen. Cars behind you or whatever.
Yes.
And so because I don't want to lose this, I have this.
All right.
Yeah.
And I put that in there. That's the hitch pin. If that hitch pin comes out, it's game over.
That's right.
Right? I don't want this hitch pin to come out.
Right.
Yeah. This is made of, looks like 5/8 steel. It's really strong. It's really important. I think we would all agree. I'm going to compare this to the core teachings of Jesus, the yeah. doctrines of Christ.
Yeah.
All right? If thou shalt not commit adultery, all right?
Yeah.
That was an easy one to understand. Mm-hmm. If you're professing to be a Christian and you go commit adultery, yeah. it's game over. Yeah. All right? Except you can come back and repent. That's why. Anyway, you can come back and you can. It's not the final. So what do you do to keep this from coming out? Use this.
That's right.
Right? Cotter pin. So a while back, I hauled a skid steer on my brother's diesel truck, a trailer on my brother's diesel truck. And I got to the, I rented it, and I was taking it back to the rental place. And when I got there, everything, trailer made it, skid steer made it, got there, this was in. And then I just about got sick to my stomach because this was missing. I got to the rental place, and that was missing. Did I make it?
You made it.
Yeah, I made it. But you know how easy I could have not made it?
Right.
People behind me, I've got a 6,000 or 8,000 pound skid steer on the back of this trailer. How do you think that would have navigated around somebody's windshield?
Right.
So, Lord help us.
Yeah.
All right. So holiness, it says, without no which no man shall see the Lord. That's the same for everyone, all right?
Yeah.
Everyone is called to live a holy life.
Yeah.
Everyone has to obey the basic principles of Jesus Christ that's taught. But to do that, there are safeguards that the Lord deals with us about putting in our lives so that this doesn't come out.
That's right.
All right?
Yes.
So I'm just going to... It's not my burden to get specific this morning. I may mention a few in passing. But sometimes we tend to be very... I don't want to say rebellious, but almost very free-spirited about the Word of God and what it teaches. If it's not in the Bible, don't you talk to me about that. All right? If it's not in the Bible, I'm not going to follow. You know where we can. And you've got your own life. You've got the ingredients. You know where the Lord wants to talk to you and what He wants you to do. But if we go back to Hebrews 12 and we read the first verse, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us."
Yeah.
And so there are things, all kinds of safeguards that we need to be implementing in our life.
Yeah.
We need to say, Lord, and the first thing, the reason I read all these scriptures at first is I want to establish that sin's a big deal.
Yes.
The Lord doesn't want us to live sinful lives.
True.
But many times, the safeguards that I've kind of grown up and my parents taught to me and just things, that, do this and it'll help you. Do this and it'll preserve and it'll make it easier for you to not transgress the Lord here or here. I've had friends that have been in other belief systems that did not teach the importance of living free from sin. And you know what? The safeguards weren't there either. Because if it's not really a big deal, whether this hitch pin comes out or not, then I'm not going to worry so much about putting this in.
Yeah.
All right? And so may the Lord help us today. I feel like that I need wisdom to know how to preach what the Lord has given me this morning. So holiness is the standard. But the safeguards, these things, the cotter pins, are the things that are really in a pretty much up to you and I. They vary from person to person because my weaknesses are not your weaknesses. My faults are not your faults. The Lord may call me to totally abstain from something that you're fine with because I know where my weaknesses are. And I know, and I fell here, and so the Lord says, you know what? Until you're, at least until you're strong, or for right now, don't go over here. Don't do this. Yes. Whether it's something you wear or a manner of speech or maybe where you go in your car or where you're walking down the street. I remember there's a place in the mall that we had to go to, and there were some things that in one store. And before I even went in there, I wanted to know where that store was. Because I wanted to know. I just wanted to know. I wanted to be aware of it. So I looked on the map and I pinpointed that one store. And you know what we did? We went around the other side of the mall. Yeah. Because I didn't want to transgress the will of the Lord. Yeah. All right? I hope this is making sense. Yeah. So the scripture says, flee fornication. All right? Flee fornication. It doesn't just say, don't commit fornication, don't commit adultery. It says to flee it. And so that is why, down through time, that holy men and women of God have taught principles like, be careful. There needs to be some carefulness between the genders. Needs to be carefulness between young people and that kind of thing. Yes. There needs to be, that's why there's been things taught in principles of modesty of dress and things like that. And it's because you can't go to somebody and say, well, you're not living. You know, we're not trying to establish any kind of a set of rules like, well, we want you to be identified in this group. So, you know, so all the men are going to, nobody can have a beard or whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. I know of a church where all the men are required to wear beards, and I know of another church where all the men are prohibited from wearing beards, right? I have no idea what all the reasoning is for that, so I'm just going to leave that there. But what I'm saying is there are things that the Lord has taught and they have been safeguards to people down through the years, and they can vary some with time, with culture, with place, with environment, with gender, with all of those things. But the importance of the safeguards is still the same.
Yes.
It's very important to have them because I don't want to transgress the will of the Lord. Yes. And so I'll just read a couple more. Here's another one. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, and so which drown men in destruction and perdition. And Jesus himself, he said, it's hard for rich men to go to heaven. So you know what that does to me personally? Well, if it's a lot harder for a rich man to go to heaven than one that's not rich, I'd just as soon not be rich.
Alright?
So I'm not going to try to be... Alright, just take that and do whatever you want to. Alright, what about the one that God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me? Alright? I think that in this world, I'm going to bring it a little closer, in America today, there is, and I think I heard Brother Rod Smith say this at Monarch, that there's probably more idolatry now than there ever was in the Bible times. We have sports idols, and we have all these figures and people that, and it's not just people, it's things. We can worship our stuff, and we can worship our clothes, and we can set people up on a pinnacle, or whatever it is. And we have the ability to do so much because we're such a prosperous nation.
Yeah. That's true.
So ask the Lord, what kind of safeguards can I put in my life to keep me from worshiping any other God but you? Yes. These things matter.
Amen.
All right? I'm not going to get specific. You have to do that, you and the Lord.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
I'm going to say on the other side of that, I believe that the Lord... Well, let's just turn to a verse here. I want to go to Proverbs 7 first. Proverbs 7 and 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. This is pretty strong language. Because he said, the things that I'm telling you, they need to be the most important thing to you.
That's right.
And that's the same thing with the commandments of the Lord today. Many times I think we get a mentality, and it's probably a subconscious one because of all the influences that we have from other, from different church belief systems and things like that. But the law of the Lord, the things, the commandments of the Lord in our life need to be important.
Yes.
I don't want to transgress them. I don't want to, I want to do the things that are pleasing in the Lord's sight. But then it says, bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. And so many times the things that we can get an attitude about, somebody may get up in the pulpit sometime, or somebody may come and teach you and say, you know, I believe that this thing can be a danger, whatever it is, right?
Yep.
I believe this thing can be a danger.
Yes.
And we go away and we say, well, that's nowhere in the Bible. You can't prove that to me because it's not in the Bible. It might be not be in the Bible, but you know what's in the Bible? Wisdom.
Yes.
Wisdom's in the Bible. Understanding is in the Bible.
Yes.
And so those are the principles that we can use when we decide what is safe to do and what is not.
Yes.
And I can't go to you and say, you know what? You're not living up to this here, and so you're not saved. But what I can do sometimes is observe a situation and say, they better be careful because they don't have this safeguard implemented, and this is what can happen because of it.
That's right.
They may make it to heaven. I made it to the rental place with my trailer. They may make it there, but it's something that I tell you what, I want to be a whole lot more sure of my trip to heaven than that.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to put in some safeguards that are going to eliminate the possibility of me transgressing in this area or that area. I'm not calling for us to go be hermits this morning. You could be a hermit and then you wouldn't have to deal with the temptations in Walmart and all of that. But that's not what the Lord calls us to do.
Yeah.
The Lord calls us to go, and sometimes we have to go and be in situations that are temptations. But you know what? There are plenty of those. We don't need to add unnecessarily to them by having things in our life that just tempt us for no reason.
Yeah.
So get rid of this or get rid of that. You let the Lord deal with you about that. So it says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman.
Yes.
That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. The Lord did not give me a special burden for adultery. I know I've kind of touched on that several times, but that's because these are where these scriptures are. This applies to every different situation in life.
Yes.
And so it says, for at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. And he picked that up immediately. Why? Because it says, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. And not only that, but it was twilight in the black and dark night. All right. So it's not a good recipe, is it?
No.
He didn't say he was void of understanding because he had fallen. He just looked and said, that's not a very smart individual because he's at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes.
And this implementing a safeguard would mean going a block over to the east and then going where I need to be going. All right? And so may the Lord help us to know what safeguards to implement, where if we've fallen again and again and again in one particular area or another, the Lord would maybe want to deal with us and say, you need to get this element out of your life.
Right.
Nothing about it in the Bible, not even maybe in principle, but it's wisdom. It's something that we can say, you know what? If I get this out, I'm going to quit doing this thing that I've been doing for a long time. I think a lot of times when we use the it's not in the Bible excuse, really, if we look at the root of it, there might be a little bit of rebellion involved there. All right, so I'm just going to leave that there. So it says, passing through the street near her corner in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And then it said, behold, there met him a woman. And so those are the kind of things that happen when we set ourselves up. You know that when we go past the wisdom that the Lord would have us to do, we look around and say, well, the grace of God just wasn't there for me in that situation. The grace of God will keep you as long as you stay in the path of wisdom and in the way of His influence. It'll keep you in any situation. It'll keep you in the temptations that you're going to face. You can't go out and be a monk somewhere because the Lord wants you to be a light to the world.
That's
yes.
right.
Yes. And so, I'll read one more scripture in Titus 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh what? Here's this word again, holiness.
Yes.
Why? Because we've got to have it on hand, or we're not going to see the Lord. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So I'm not just trying to pick on the women here, but I'm wanting to bring a principle out of the scripture. And that is that the Lord doesn't just speak to us in a personal way, but sometimes he inspires people that say, you know what? All right, there are individual things that affect maybe just you and not me, but there are also things that from time to time the Lord will have people warn about this and that. You know that we shouldn't just turn a blind eye to those things. The Lord allows people to expound and wants people, that's the way He set it up, to teach the older people that have a lot more experience than the younger ones that have little to no experience at all. He wants us younger ones to be able to be taught by the older ones in things that maybe we wouldn't have thought of, because they can see a lot farther and they've seen the cycles of life and all of the different, they've seen people that have taken this path and what happened to them. And so sometimes we may begin, I feel like in large part I'm speaking to the young people this morning, because I was a young person a generation or so ago, and I would hear things that were taught. Be careful about this. And I would think, I don't see, where's that in the Bible?
Yeah.
I don't see the sense in that. And you know what? It's just because I couldn't see very far.
Yeah.
And as I got older, I began to see, and you know what? I still don't see everything. I don't see everything that's ever been taught. And you know what? People can also be wrong. They can.
Yeah.
And so that's why the Lord allows us to examine things. But the Spirit of the Lord will ring true to your heart if something is right or not, and if you're honest. And so the Lord wants, He set it up where people teach things, and if you're taught that you need to watch this, I would say if it's somebody that's full of the Spirit of God, if it's somebody that is that's inspired and somebody that's been down the road a ways, consider closely what they're saying, because there are things that you have no idea. When I was a lot younger, I'd say, well, what's this matter and what's that matter? And then when as I got older, there have been things, just light bulb moments that came on in my head. So may the Lord help us today. Peter said, give diligence to give to make your calling and election sure. All right?
Yes.
I want to make sure that I get to where I'm going. And so, by the help of the Lord, I'm going to implement any safeguard that He calls upon me to do. You pray for me.
Amen.